Come with me if you want to live.
It wasn't some slow evolution. It wasn't some gradual shift. It happened in an instant. Action movies had basically always been one thing. And then, boom! Everything before it looked ancient. Terminator 2 dropped, and the 90s belonged to James Cameron. You think I'm exaggerating? Let me put it this way. The Terminator was already a game changer. But when T2 hit, it rewrote the entire rulebook. Overnight, every action movie had to catch up, and most of them never did. Let's break this thing down. This is Rewind or Die, and I'm your host, Adam.
He's all alone. You have to protect him.
They know its face.
Stay here. I'll be back.
They know its mission. But there's one thing they don't know. This time, there are two. Terminator 2.
Stay down!
One programmed to destroy. The other programmed to protect.
Baby.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
I swear I will not kill anyone.
I know it's just our second episode, but I couldn't wait to dive into this. There was no way I was going to sit around and wait to talk about T2. This movie is too damn important, too perfect, too iconic. I mean, come on. It's Terminator 2. This was always going to be one of the first episodes. Because how do you start a show like this and not talk about one of the greatest action movies ever made? All right, let's talk about the greatest action movie sequel of all time. No, I don't want to hear it. This isn't up for debate. This is a fact. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, is the gold standard, the bar, the sequel that every other sequel and every action movie wishes it could be. Let me tell you about the first time I saw this movie, because this wasn't just a movie for me. This was a life event. I was a kid. I didn't see it in theaters. I wish I had, but I was just a little too young. And my parents, for some reason, didn't think a movie about a killer robot apocalypse was appropriate for me. But then, the day came. The movie hit video stores, and I begged, pleaded, did everything short of signing away my soul to get my hands on that tape. The first time I watched it, it broke my brain. I had never seen action like this, the truck chase, the T-1000 morphing into liquid metal, the minigun scene. Every single second of this movie looked and felt like something from the future. And from that point on, I was hooked. Every time we went to the video store, I rented it. Every single time, didn't matter if I'd just seen it the week before. I wore out that rental tape. Eventually, the guy behind the counter just went, "Kid, you should probably just buy it." This movie was a bigger part of my childhood than some family members. And that's why I'm going to give it the full Rewind or Die breakdown. First things first, let's talk about why T2 is the perfect sequel. Number one, the stakes are higher. In the first movie, it's about survival. In this one, it's about stopping the apocalypse. The whole damn world is on the line! Number two, the action is unreal. The truck chase, the mall showdown, the psych hospital escape, the minigun scene, the final fight in a freaking steel mill, every single set piece is a masterclass in action cinematography. Number three, the characters level up. Sarah Connor goes from final girl who survived to a full-blown muscle-bound warrior with PTSD and a one-woman war against Skynet. The T-800 goes from relentless killer to the ultimate protector. And John Connor? Okay, he's a little annoying, but he taught a Terminator how to be cool. And then, of course, there's Arnold. Arnold in this movie, perfect. This is his best performance. This is his most iconic role. This movie has every single one of his best lines. I'll spare you the Arnold impression everyone ever tries to attempt. I'll be back. Come with me if you want to live. Hasta la vista, baby. These lines, legendary. This movie would never get made today. You know what would happen if some studio tried to make T2 in 2025? Number one, it would be PG-13. Number two, they would CGI everything. Number three, they'd cast Chris Pratt as the Terminator.
Run. Ride. Or fly to your nearest video store.
Go now!
And grab Terminator 2 for the best price ever.
Trust me. Come with me if you want to live.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 2, wherever videos are sold.
Now available at Strawberry's for $14.99.
How making T2 was a nightmare. You want to know why T2 is so perfect? Because every single frame of this movie was painfully earned. This wasn't just a big Hollywood sequel. It was a death march of a production. It was over budget, over schedule. It nearly broke everyone involved. And the final result? A movie that still looks better than 90% of what hits theaters today. James Cameron is a madman. If you've ever seen Aliens, you know he's a perfectionist who will grind his cast and crew into the ground to get what he wants. But on T2, he was operating at maximum insanity. The schedule was brutal. They had to finish filming in less than a year to meet their release date. And this movie was a massive undertaking. Multiple crews working at the same time. Shooting at night for weeks straight. Explosions, stunts, insane practical effects. No one was sleeping. Everyone was miserable. But Cameron, he kept pushing for more. And you know what? It worked. Because when you watch this movie, you see real sweat, real exhaustion. Nothing feels phony. That's not acting. That's actual sleep deprivation. The scene where the T-800 blows apart the cops' cars with a minigun, that wasn't a prop. That was a real minigun, firing blanks. And it was so powerful, it actually blew out windows across the street from where they were shooting. Arnold had to learn how to fire it without blinking, because he's a Terminator, and Terminators don't blink when they shoot. You ever try to hold a 70-pound minigun and fire it without flinching? No? Well, Arnold did, because he's not human. Sarah Connor in this movie, pure intensity. She's ripped, she's unhinged, she's a woman on a mission, and Linda Hamilton trained for months to make it real. She did weapons training with real special forces soldiers. She learned how to load, cock, and fire a shotgun one-handed. That shot where she's racking a shell with one arm? She really did that. No CGI, no movie trickery. She became a full-blown badass. But here's where it gets crazy. She permanently damaged her hearing while filming. During the escape from the mental hospital, she fires a shotgun inside an elevator, but no one warned her how loud it would be. She didn't have earplugs. Her ears got blasted. She lost 50% of her hearing in one ear permanently. That's commitment. What can I say? The T-1000 changes everything. Before this movie, CGI was basically a party trick. But T2? This movie proved it could look real. But here's what they don't tell you. Those effects took forever to render. Back in 1991, computers weren't powerful. Every time the T-1000 morphed, Industrial Light and Magic's computers had to work for hours just to render a single frame. Some of those shots took weeks to finish. And this wasn't for a fully CGI character it was just for a few seconds of screen time. But the craziest part? The effects look better than most CGI today, because James Cameron and his team knew when to use it and when to use practical effects, something modern movies have completely forgotten. Remember the truck chase where the T-1000 drives a semi off a bridge? That stunt was 100% real. No CGI, no miniatures. They drove a real semi straight off a 30-foot drop. The problem? The city of Los Angeles did not approve it. The crew basically just did it anyway. No permit, no official sign-off. They just got the shot and got the hell out before the cops showed up, like classic James Cameron. The final battle in the steel mill? It looks real because it was. The molten metal was actually superheated orange lights reflecting off water, but the heat was real. They filmed inside a factory in the middle of summer under massive movie lights with flames everywhere. Linda Hamilton Arnold and Robert Patrick were constantly sweating through their costumes. Crew members were passing out from heat exhaustion. And Cameron, he kept yelling, "Roll it again!" Did T2 almost break James Cameron? Look, James Cameron is a machine, not a Terminator, but close. This guy has pushed himself to the edge on every single movie he's ever made. But T2, this movie nearly broke him. You gotta understand, this was the most expensive movie ever made at the time. The budget? $100 million in 1991. That's insane. This movie cost more than most countries' entire GDP. And Cameron? He was personally responsible for every single dollar of it. Every stunt, every shot, every special effect. He micromanaged everything. The stress level through the roof. The studio was breathing down his neck. The deadline was insane. They started filming in October 1990. And the movie had to be in theaters by July 1991, less than a year to shoot, edit, and finish a movie this massive. For context, most blockbusters today take 2 to 3 years to do that. Cameron had 11 months. He barely slept. He was pulling 18-hour days, 7 days a week. He was editing the movie as they were still filming. Every night, he'd finish shooting, and then go straight into the editing room to cut together what they had just filmed. No rest, no breaks, just Terminator mode. And his crew? They were mutinying. People were quitting. Cameron had a reputation for being relentless. He wanted everything perfect. And if you couldn't keep up, you were gone. Linda Hamilton, Arnold, Robert Patrick, everyone loved the final movie. But filming it, I nearly killed them. And then, when it was finally finished, when the movie was ready to hit theaters, you know what Cameron did? He said he was done with the franchise. He walked away. After pouring every ounce of his soul into T2, he decided he could never top it. He said, "This story is finished. There's nowhere left to go." And you know what? He was right, because every sequel after T2, garbage. So yeah, T2 was a masterpiece, but it took everything out of him. This movie didn't break James Cameron, but it sure as hell pushed him to the edge.
Watch out. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, at a theater near you. And now, only at Subway, the Thirst Terminator Collector Cup, filled with 32 ounces of your favorite soft drink. Get it with your favorite Subway sub. Oven fresh bread piled high with the freshest ingredients from just $1.69. Terminate your hunger. Terminate your thirst. With this summer's blockbuster hits, only at Subway.
Let's get one thing straight. T2 may be R-rated, but it was a full-blown kids' movie in 1991. I don't care what the MPAA said. I don't care what parents said. Every single kid in America was obsessed with this movie. And if you were a kid back then, you lived in the Terminator 2 era. This movie took over everything. It wasn't just a hit. It was a cultural event, a phenomenon. If you were alive in the summer of 91, you couldn't escape T2. It was in toy stores. It was on lunchboxes. It was in arcade machines. There were action figures. Even though this was a violent R-rated movie where people got shot to pieces. But you know what? Nobody cared. This movie transcended its rating. It didn't matter that it was brutal. It didn't matter that the body count was insane. Kids loved this movie. Every kid wanted to be John Connor. Here's the thing. T2 made it easy for kids to get hooked because the main character was a kid. John Connor was 10 years old, riding a dirt bike, hacking ATMs, telling off cops, and teaching a Terminator how to be cool. Every kid watching this movie wanted to be him. And if you were a kid in 91, you were either actually John Connor or you wanted to be. He had the lifestyle every 10-year-old dreamed of. No school, no rules. He just hung out at the arcade all day, blasting Afterburner and Mortal Kombat. His mom was a full-blown action hero. His best friend was a Terminator. What kid wouldn't think that's the coolest thing ever? And that's why kids weren't just watching T2. They were living it. Every kid who owned a dirt bike in 91 was pretending they were John Connor escaping the T-1000. Every kid with a leather jacket was trying to walk like Arnold. Every kid was trying to teach their friends how to say, hasta la vista, baby, the right way. You want to know how big this movie was? It had toys. Lots of them. And not just for adult collectors, but for actual kids. We're talking action figures, playsets, even water guns shaped like the Terminator's shotgun. And parents, they bought them without a second thought. There were T2 lunchboxes, T2 trading cards, T2 video games. They even made a Terminator Saturday morning cartoon commercial. Not an actual cartoon, just a commercial for the toys, but it was animated like a Saturday morning show. That's how wide this movie's reach was. And it didn't stop at toys. Arcades were packed with T2 the arcade game, one of the coolest light gun shooters ever made. Every kid who went to a pizza place in the 90s shoved quarters into that machine like their life depended on it. Why? Because it lets you be the Terminator. When this movie hit VHS, it sold over 20 million copies. That's absurd. And then it hit TV, and every network aired it all the time. But here's where it gets crazy. They heavily edited it for TV, but kids still watched it obsessively. I can still remember the weird TV cuts, like when Arnold says, hasta la vista, baby. But they replaced it with, see you around, kid. Or when the T-1000's metal stabbing attacks were magically turned into punches. It didn't matter. We still watched it. We still loved it. And here's the thing. This movie didn't just dominate in 91. It never stopped. To this day, new generations discover this movie. It never fades. It never gets old because unlike a lot of 90s movies, T2 wasn't just a trend. It was a legend. This movie didn't just break box office records. It rewrote the rules. It proved that an R-rated action movie could still be a massive mainstream hit. It became a four-quadrant movie, which is Hollywood speak for everybody loved it, adults, teens, kids, everyone. Because at the end of the day, it's not just about the rating. It's about the characters, the story, the iconic moments. T2 hit different. And for every kid who grew up in 1991, this movie wasn't just something we watched. It was part of our childhood, and it always will be.
Terminator!
I'm back! Got to find John Connor.
But evil T-1000 gets to him first!
Hey, back off!
Terminator's heavy metal cycle zeroes in and fires! But T-1000 stands to get even!
This is for getting on my bad side! You're next, John Connor.
I'm back.
Terminator deploys his secret weapon.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminated
this time.
Terminator is back.
The Guns N' Roses connection, How You Could Be Mine, made T2 even cooler. As if this movie wasn't already the coolest thing ever. It also came with a perfect theme song. You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Freakin' Roses. Let me tell you, if you were a kid in the 90s, this song was everywhere. It wasn't just a song in a movie. It was the song. The music video was constantly on MTV, and it had Arnold as the Terminator, not just clips from the movie. Actual Arnold in character, going to a Guns N' Roses concert, scanning them like he's deciding whether or not to terminate Axl Rose. And the best part? At the end, he looks at them, decides they're a waste of ammo, and walks away. That's it. The Terminator himself basically says, Guns N' Roses isn't even worth killing. And if that isn't peak 90s, I don't know what is. But in the movie, the song is John Connor's anthem. You hear it blasting from his boombox while he's tearing through a mall parking lot on his dirt bike, and it just locks in the vibe. The rebellious kid, the attitude, the energy. It fits so perfectly with the movie that it might as well have been written for it. And here's the best part. James Cameron didn't just slap a popular song in the movie. He worked it into the marketing. When they started promoting Tay Tayo, Guns N' Roses was everywhere. MTV, trailers, promotional tie-ins. This wasn't just a movie. It was a cultural event. And to this day, you cannot hear that song without immediately thinking about T2. It's locked in forever. Just like how you can't hear Danger Zone without thinking of Top Gun. You Could Be Mine is Terminator 2. And yeah, I still blast it because it's a killer song for a killer movie and because Guns N' Roses, just like T2, was at their absolute peak in 1991. Oh, wait, Steve, before we go, what did T2 make at the box office?
Adam.
Steve, I need it.
$520 million worldwide.
Yes, yes, $520 million. In 1991 money, do you understand how insane that is?
No, Adam. Please explain it to me for another 45 minutes.
Steve, adjusted for inflation, that's like $1 billion.
You're going to say this was the biggest movie ever, aren't you?
It was!
It wasn't.
It was a cultural earthquake.
Yeah. A cultural earthquake that somehow still has you screaming at me 30 years later.
Why all of this matters? You watch a movie like T2, and it feels real because so much of it was real. The stunts, the effects, the physicality. None of it was easy. None of it was simple. Every frame of this movie was painfully earned. And that is why it still holds up. Some movies come and go. They're big for a minute, and then they fade. But T2? This movie never left me. It's a part of me. It's one of those movies that burns itself into your brain and never lets go. I didn't just watch T2 as a kid. I lived in it. I studied it. I memorized every shot, every line, every beat. I knew the minigun scene was at exactly 1 hour and 37 minutes on the VHS. I could quote the entire movie without thinking. Hell, I still can. This movie made me love action. It made me love movies. It set a standard that almost nothing else has ever lived up to. There's a reason I kept renting this movie over and over and over, even when I knew every scene. Even when I knew how it ended, it never stopped being awesome. It never got old. It never stopped hitting the same way it did the first time. And you know what? ID still does. I can put this movie on right now, and it still feels perfect. Every frame still looks incredible. The action still feels real. The T-1000 is still terrifying. Arnold is still cooler than any human being has ever been. And that final scene, where he lowers himself into the molten metal and gives the thumbs up, it still gets me. Every single time. This movie isn't just a movie to me. It's one of the reasons I love cinema. It's one of the reasons I love action movies. And no matter how many movies I watch, no matter how many explosions I see, no matter how many CGI nightmares Hollywood tries to sell me as the next big thing, nothing will ever touch T2. I will love this movie until the day I die. And even then, I might find a way to come back just so I can watch it one more time. Does this movie make the Rewind or Die Hall of Fame? Duh. This movie is the Hall of Fame. You could build a damn wing just for this movie alone. That's it for Rewind or Die. Next up, we're doing Sudden Death. Van Damme. Die Hard in a hockey arena. And yes, we're talking about the damn penguin mascot fight. Until then, if you see me in public, I want you to yell, Hasta la vista, baby, at me. Let's see how many people think I'm a Terminator.
So that was Terminator 2. You feel good? You got it all out?
Steve, I feel reborn. I feel like I just spent 3 days in a sensory deprivation tank. And when I emerged, the only thing that existed was T2.
Yeah, you definitely deprive people of their entire afternoon.
Good.
So just to recap, we had the James Cameron nearly died for this movie breakdown. We had this was an R-rated movie that became a children's toy empire segment. We had a 5-minute rant on how John Connor was basically Bart Simpson with hacking skills.
That one was important.
We had the every sequel after this is a crime against humanity speech,
which was factual.
And let's not forget the exhaustive analysis of the Guns N' Roses music video.
You could be mine, Steve. It's integral.
Right. Just like how appreciating the finer details of Axl Rose's headband choices was crucial to understanding T2.
It's called context, Steve. Some of us care about cinema.
Yeah. And some of us don't need an entire TED Talk about the philosophical importance of Arnold learning how to say, Hasta la vista, baby.
And don't sit there and pretend the John Connor dirt bike chase was not a universal childhood experience.
No, I'll give you that one. That definitely turned every kid in the 90s into a wannabe fugitive.
See?
Still don't think you needed to spend 10 minutes yelling about how every sequel after this should be launched into the sun.
I cut it down from 15.
Could have cut it down to 0.
Listen, man, like we all know everything after T2 is just fan fiction. You know it. I know it. James Cameron knew it.
Dark Fate tried.
Don't you dare.
Ha ha ha. All right. All right. So, you ready for the next episode?
Like, Steve, I have been waiting to talk about this movie on a microphone since I was 14 years old.
Oh, God.
Sudden death, Steve.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Terminator 2? Really? That's where we are. Two episodes in, and you're already picking the most obvious, most universally beloved, most no one will ever argue with this movie imaginable. I mean, yeah, it's great. It's perfect. But you didn't want to, I don't know, ease into it a little. Maybe throw in a curveball. Keep people guessing. Then again, knowing you? No. Of course not. You saw the chance to talk about Arnold dual-wielding a shotgun and a minigun, and you took it. Can't say I blame you. Still, let's be honest. You were just looking for an excuse to talk about that damn Guns N' Roses song, weren't you?
You know what? He's not wrong. Hey, thanks for listening to Rewind or Die. There's always a new episode every Monday, so don't miss out. Remember to subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Producer Steve hopes you have enjoyed this program.